Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Well, good morning. It's a little after 9 o'clock when we always say good morning to Walter Assey from Renovco 906. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
How was your week? You were telling me the weather wasn't great while I was away.
I'm sure my week was not better than yours.
All right, yeah.
I hear you.
Cool temperatures.
Had beautiful weather. And
yeah, down
golfing
in
golfing.
Yeah, New York was two nights in New York. I went to two shows and I didn't have to take out a second mortgage because I bought some of those discounted tickets, you know, that they sell.
Yeah.
For the Broadway show, so it wasn't too bad. And we spent a nice week golfing just outside Atlantic City. Went to Atlantic City one day just to walk around and
take Well, you're so lucky you chose the right week. Yeah. I was almost installing back my snow tires.
You never know. You never know this with the weather how it's going to go. But yeah. We're getting a week of rain apparently. At least Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It looks like we're going
to
have.
You're not thinking to go back out again,
no,
are you?
No, I'm staying. Okay. I'm staying put. I'm not going anywhere for the rest of the summer.
Good.
514-790-0800. Of course, air quality is a big topic, right? Because of the wildfires and the mist and the haze.
It is. And a matter of fact, a few days ago I was in Mirabel and driving back, you could literally smell the smoke in the air, and you see like the debris from the fires. It was something actually. And you know, in my case, I have a chronic sinusitis, so I really feel everything.
Sorry, I missed a chronic?
Sinusitis.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So I have allergies, yeah. I have all kinds of things. So I really had to stay indoors all day, or, every time I stepped out, I would feel the headache right away. So it's really worrisome. Hopefully things are going to get better. The rain's going to help, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not a joking matter for sure.
Yeah, I was telling Walter during the news break that in New York City, they were actually, the fire departments were handing out, many of them were handing out masks to anyone who wanted one because the air quality was so bad.
It reminds you of Hong Kong a little bit, right?
Yeah.
That's what they do for air pollution. But at one point, I think we had worse air quality than Hong Kong at one point.
Mm. 514-790-0800 if you want to pick Walter's brain. He's here. Sometimes you just need a little advice, a little guidance, and we've got the expert for you with his years of experience behind the very successful Renovco Consumer's Choice, by the way, thanks to that poll in the Suburban, right?
Yes, and the Consumer Choice Awards as well.
Et voilà, et voilà. All right, so we've checked his credentials. They're fine.
yeah. Again. I know you did.
514-790-0800. When it comes to decks, and of course a lot of concentration on decks when the warmer weather comes around, I made the switch a while ago because we had a wooden deck, but because wooden decks you have to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And there's some upkeep to do, and of course lazy us, you know, we neglected them, and you know, because you've got to stain them, right?
You got to stain them,
yeah.
It's usually every couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now if you use stain and it's or oil based stains, mm-hmm. usually the good thing about them, you have to do them more often, but you don't have that peeling to deal with. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have an opaque type paint, the problem with that is after a couple of years, it starts peeling. So you're going to end up having to sand the whole deck down and restart. So it's always a good idea to try to find a stain, preferably oil-based. The good ones, like, for example, Frambert, you'll have an oil-based, you only do one coat,
mm-hmm.
and then you forget about it for a couple of years, and then you reapply instead of sanding and reapplying. They have a product called Bare 73. It's a cleaning product that you spray on the wood, and what that does, it opens the spores and it cleans up all the, you know, the pollutants and all the debris and the dust and what have you. And then you let it dwell for about 15 minutes. You scrub it, and you hold it down, and you wait 24 hours, and now it's ready for the paint application or the stain application, and you just apply it and forget it for a couple of years.
Mm.
So if you want to stay with wood, there's ways to kind of stay with wood without having to work too much on it.
Yeah.
The other thing you always have to remember with paint and stain is, let's say you would want to transition at one point from paint to stain, it's a big job. You have to really sand every square inch of that deck. So if you stay with the stain or the oils, it's much simpler. It's much simpler. And in stain, you have many colors, so you don't have to worry so much about the tints and what have you.
We switched to we went with the composite boards.
That's another good one, but the price is there as well. So if you are on a budget, it's a bit more challenging, I guess.
Let's get Walter to work here at 514-790-0800. That's the number to call to ask away. We're going to go to the West Island. Point Claire is where we find, is it Paul? Hi, Paul.
Hi, Ken. How's it going? Hello, Walter.
Hi, how are you, Paul?
Good, thank you. I'm calling with a question regarding insulation in my roof. I'm about to I'm getting ready. I'm probably going to do it in the fall when it's a little cooler up there. But to top up the insulation, currently I have mineral wool. The inspector said it's at about R23 now, 9 inches or so. And I'm going to top it up with cellulose. My question is, up there, the central heating, the ducts are for the upstairs go through the roof, and not through, but inside the attic space. And there is, I have these big bats of pink fiberglass around them, and I'm wondering, is it best to keep the big pink bats around them and pour the cellulose around it, or take them out and just have cellulose?
It's a good question. Now, I mean, I'm sure you're aware it's the worst possible place to put your ducts, right? It is.
I know that, but the guys that did it in 1950 are probably not around anymore.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with ducts in your attic, they are in the coldest possible place in the winter and the warmest possible place in the summer. So there's nothing good comes out of that. What you want to do, the ducts itself, and that's now that you're doing that kind of project, do plan it well because you're up there and you're in it. The ducting itself, you have to have a totally different type of an insulation project for them.
So I have to have a what?
A totally different type of insulation project, meaning you have to completely separate it from the attic. The ducts themselves have to be themselves insulated, urethaned, and sealed really well. You cannot combine the attic insulation and the duct insulation. No matter what you're going to put on top, it's not going to work as well. So what you need to do is you need to urethane around the ducting. Uh-huh. Or there are special sleeves, insulation sleeves you wrap around them. Urethaning them would be best. So that you have to tell your insulation guy. Hopefully some companies, what they do, they do both. They do the urethane insulation and then they do the cellulose insulation, the blown-in. This is the best your best contractor to choose. Because then you can give him this. It's one guy doing the same project. They don't have to overlap, coordinate, or anything else. So you empty that area completely. You kind of move the insulation around if you don't want to empty it. Okay.
I've done that, yeah.
That's great. And then they come and then urethane the whole ducting system. Okay.
This is like the foam, that's a sprayed foam.
Bravo. That's exactly it. Or they could do insulation sleeves, okay? But urethane works. Urethane works very well. And then you can do the blown-in on top. You could do the bats. It doesn't really matter because at this point, it's just an additional protection. But if you don't have it right now, here are the risks that are going to happen. Number one, you are increasing your insulation in your attic, usually up to R50, because that's what the code is now. But around these areas, it will never really come to R50 because, again, you have the hot air and the cool air and so on and so forth. Sometimes it's not 100% sealed. So when you encapsulate it like this, you allow for it to be adequately sealed and separated from your attic. Thus, you're going to avoid condensation, okay? Which will create you mold. You're going to avoid heat loss. Or cool loss in the summer, And you know, you're just going to have simply better air quality as well passing through the ducts, because now you know that's 100% encapsulated.
Right, right. Okay. Now, I want to do I'm planning to do this job myself.
Paul, Paul, can I just jump in for a sec? We're going to go to traffic, but hang on. We'll put you right back, all right? Hang
okay.
on, one sec. 916-514-790-0800.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
It is. And the number to call is 514-790-0800. A couple of lines are free right now. We're just going to wrap up with Paul out in Pointe Claire. Paul, sorry to put you on hold there. Had to take care of business.
Gotta pay the bills.
Yeah, you had one more question for Walter?
Well, actually, to continue the discussion about the insulation in the roof, actually, so the urethane understood or the sleeve, I guess I can get both of those at Home Depot or some similar place?
You're going to pay a whole bunch of... you can. There's a kit that you could buy from Home Depot. It's a two-component urethane kit. The problem is you might need to buy more than one, and it costs about $800 a kit. I don't know how long your ducts are, but what you kind of want to try to do, just to kind of, since you're doing it yourself and you have, I'm sure you it takes you have to be physically fit to do it, because you're working in a confined zone, and you know, usually it's not as comfortable. I don't know how your attic is, flexible.
I spent most of the spring in there, so I know what it is.
So what you need, you have to calculate about 6 inches around your ducting. That's what you want. But your urethane, as far as urethane, if you can get up to 6 inches, it's great. 3 inches would be your minimum gauge, but that would give you about R22, right? So you want to go as thick as you can. Six inches is your so. I don't know how many of these kits you're gonna need to buy. If you find that is becoming cost prohibitive, because you know you're gonna have to buy two or three of these kits, it's probably gonna end up being cheaper getting a guy in there to shoot it with his truck, because usually charge about $3 to $6 a square foot, depending on how many inches. $3 as 60 cents for 3 inches, and it goes up from there up to 6 inches, right? So if you find so you have to do the calculation, right? Your time, you know, how many of these kits you need, and for these are practical. These kits are practical for like one wall, smaller areas, but they become cost prohibitive on a larger scale of doing things. So that's the type of calculation.
So assuming I do this or not, my original question was, is it worth putting, also stacking the, like, you know, sort of putting these big bats of insulation on the sides and on the top, and maybe cinching them up loosely with a string or wire, or should I bother? Should I just put insulation? I'm looking at probably 12, 15 inches more insulation, total of 20 inches.
Okay, so again, the other thing I want to tell you is there is advantages to bat insulation and disadvantages, okay? The advantages are, if you ever have to repair ceilings underneath and you open up the drywall, you don't have a bunch of insulation that falls on your head. The disadvantage is that, you know, insulation is manually placed and there's a lot of seams. So you tend to have a lot of pockets. Sometimes, if you don't place it well, especially in confined areas, you find that you have loss of heat and energy from these areas. So that's the kind of thing we don't love about insulation. Now, you can combine both. What sometimes people do is they put pad at the bottom, and then they blow extra insulation on top. Loose insulation. So if you open the ceiling at the bottom.
The ducting is like going in the center. and it goes, it branches out to the rooms, and there's no space underneath, really. It just sits on top of the rafters.
Okay.
And so I would be putting the bats on the sides and on the top. It sounds like, from what you're saying, I'm probably better off to just have the cellulose right up against the ducting.
Yes, but urethane is first. It's another reason why you should urethane it first. It's the fact that it's in the center of the house, so it could really wreak havoc if you have condensation. But, you know, honestly, if you would have it blown in, you're going to have a better chance of, you know, getting insulation around. Mind you, if you go 6 inches, you're already a lot better where you started. So that's good. The other thing you could do is while you're up there, you're going to look and you're going to see if you did have any condensation or watermarks evidence up there.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
That's a good
news.
That's awesome.
Yeah, news. And that's the other thing. I mean, I've been up there a lot, and you know, as I mentioned, the house was built in the 50s, and I've seen no condensation, no evidence of you know, watermarks or anything like that. So, you know, so far it's been good. So
okay. So the only thing you would have to worry about is it would be heat loss or cold air loss in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're adding insulation up there, what you need to do is you need to ensure that you don't block your soffits, because that's a common mistake. As soon as adding, that's, you know.
Yeah, no, I've just unblocked them and I put the styrovents in there.
Bravo.
Yeah. Okay. So it's all set. It's all waiting for the insulation.
All right.
Yeah, but do one thing. Do me a favor. Do one thing before you embark on it yourself, because you're going to have to buy X amount of bags of bat insulation. See how much is that going to cost you versus the blown-in, because sometimes you'll be surprised. It comes out very...
Bags of insulation... No, I'm putting in cellulose. Like, it's the bags and the machine.
Okay,
I calculated
but you did?
Yeah.
And how much is coming out to square foot?
I need 33 bags of ThermoShield, and because I got 550 square feet. So it's going to cost me about, I'm figuring counting the rental of the machine and the truck, about $800.
Okay, so there's definitely saving there for you, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, we have to run. I hope that was some help for you this morning.
Very much. Thank you very much, Walter, and you too, Ken. Have a good day.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for the call. All right. I only have a minute here, so I don't want to go to a call. 514-790-0800, but from the text line, if you can take, I don't know, maybe you need more than a minute here. Can you direct a bathroom vent exhaust into a maxi attic vent?
No.
That's from Gary. Simple answer?
Simple answer is no. You want to have a dedicated exit for your fan. And usually it's through the roof itself with a dedicated clapet or gooseneck, or through the side of the house. But you really don't want to have it through your maxi vent.
All right. Also have questions about decks. We were talking about decks earlier, but we'll get to that hopefully here in the second half. 514-790-0800 is the number to call for the Home Improvement Show. Saturday morning tradition here on CJAD 800. And it's one full hour of free advice. We've got the guy for it too, Walter Assey from Renovco. So give us a call and grab a line at 514-790-0800. Coming back with more right after the news.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
514-790-0800 is the number to call if you want to talk to Walter Assey from Renovco, answering all your questions, handing out advice. So let us know. Again, 514-790-0800. From the text line at 514-800, Walter, Lawrence in Côte Saint-Luc saw us or heard us talking about decks earlier in the hour. Wants to know the best approach to fixing a problem with a deck. Let me see if I read this properly. Where it's sinking on one side.
Mm-hmm.
Big job, small job.
So here's the problem that you see often with decks is sometimes they are built quickly without giving much attention to the foundation of the deck. Okay. So we see a lot of deck blocks, and you know, while that is good and simple and an easy and a cheap way to install a deck, it doesn't really work very well. You know, when you have heaving and movement of the ground underneath it.
Okay.
So if you have any ground settling, what happens is in that area the deck would settle, and you will have an uneven deck. in certain cases, the structure itself is not well built. So, you know, they don't put adequate beams underneath and adequate supports. And you have structural issues as well. Now, when you are building a deck, there's many things to look at. The height of the deck, okay? So is it like 5 feet of the ground, 2 feet of the ground? Because that also will affect the type of foundation you need to put. The size of the deck as well. The bigger the deck and the higher the deck, the more strong you want the foundation to be. And there's many ways to do that. Now, for us, for example, we stay away from deck blocks altogether and we stick to technopieu, which is one way to do a foundation, or a sonotube foundation. A technopieu goes all the way to below frost line and it's extremely solid, so you don't have to worry about movement or the frost lines or anything like that. Or a sonotube foundation. Anything else, you are kind of exposing yourself to potential problems. Now, in her case, she can, in that particular area, I mean, it's when I say small job, it's a big job, it's really subjective to what you're going to have to do.
But you have to be careful that you're it's only a temporary fix and you're just gonna, it's going to repeat it. The problem's going to repeat after it starts sinking again?
It might. So her best bet, if it's a problematic area and she knows there's movement there, is to put a technopieu type foundation or support in that particular location, or a sonotube foundation. Because if she have a deck block, that means, you know, it's not really working in that area. Or she can add more deck blocks and see what happens, depending. So, you know, if the ground completely underneath this area is moving, she might have to, you know, to deal with it more than once. But yeah, keep in mind that if you don't have the adequate support, you know, you're going to have movement in one side 1 year. You might have, you know, few years another side that settles, so you have to keep that in mind and ensure that the structure is well built. You have, you know, I've seen structures that are built with 2x4s, which were terrible.
Mm.
It's just that's not a structure for me. 2x6s, usually 2x8s is your minimum guide, for your joists underneath. But yeah, I mean, in her case, she can add more deck blocks and see what happens, or she can just simply go with a technopieu type foundation.
514-790-0800 is the number to call to talk to Walter here on the Home Improvement Show, and our text line is 514-800. We were talking about this off the air. A big issue for a lot of swimming pool owners with backyard pools is the fence that's required now.
Correct.
What's your observation? What do you know about the cost and the options available for these fences?
I mean, you know, the issue is you can always go with any type of fence. There's no the only thing that they have kind of put in place would be the height of the fence and how far it's have to be from the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the calculations. If someone is tall enough that they were drunk and they kind of, you know, fall off and they kind of roll over and go in the pool and what have you, some crazy calculation on how they did this. I mean, you could go, if you're on a budget, you could go with a chain link fence. Yes, it's not attractive. It's not the most sexiest type of fence you can have, but it's the most budget friendly and it does the job. Then you can go with glass. You could go with aluminum. You can go with many different types of fence. You could even go with wood fence if you need. But the most important is to adhere to the spacing from the walkway, from the pool itself to the walkway. And I remember at one point they were looking at it and there was an issue with the guided space. I don't know if they changed that, because most borders around pools are about 36 inches, 3 feet.
Okay.
And at one point what they wanted to do is they wanted those fences to be at about 38 or 39 inches. Which created a big problem, because now it's not a question of installing the fence, but now it's a question of also extending your walkway, which becomes extremely cost prohibitive.
Mm.
So there was a big outcry on that to kind of bring it back to the 36, at least mark where we can install the fence in that location. By doing so, we don't need to necessarily have a foundation or sonotubes for these fences. These fences and add an additional cost. This way we can screw it into the walkway itself. There are retractable fences as well. They're very expensive, but they disappear underground.
Oh, really?
That's right. They're glass, and that's another way. But again, the budget is crazy. So there's many, many different options. They're all, it's fancy. It's beautiful. And you know what's great about it? It's like if you have a party and you don't want that ugly fence to be there, and you know, then you can just make it retract. So that's another thing that might become popular now that it's becoming obligatory to have a fence around your pool.
Let me put you on the spot here. Just give me a ballpark price. So like, you know, not necessarily aesthetically pleasing, but the base model, the chain link.
The base model, you were talking about $25,000 to $30,000. The one that retracts.
No. The plain chain link. Oh, yeah. Sorry, you scared me there.
$1,500 to $2,000.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not expensive. If you go with a chain link, I'm talking about the retractable glass ones and what have you.
Where have you seen that?
Actually, the first time I've seen it was in Florida. I believe I was speaking to a pool installer the other day, and few have been installed in Quebec already.
Is that right, eh?
Yes. Higher-end homes, bigger budget, but it solves a big problem as far as look is concerned.
Boy, you can really impress your guests.
True.
Wow. Yeah. That's Walter Assey from Inovco. If you have a question for him, pick his brain. He's here, and it's a free advice for the full hour, and there's still time left at 514-790-0800. Full disclosure, just got quite a little scare because the window washers are outside our window here, and you don't normally see that.
Well, Ken was actually worried that he's starting to imagine things.
You know that feeling sometimes you think someone's over your shoulder? Two guys.
Big brother is watching. You have to be careful.
It's 9:45.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Certainly is. And the number to call, 514-790-0800. There's still time. We've got 10 more minutes before we hit the top of the hour. So if you want to talk to Walter, you have something to ask him about, a project at home, 514-790-0800. By the way, you know what I saw? I guess it was an infomercial the other day when I was on holiday. What's becoming, seems more and more popular, and it was spawned out of the pandemic and people working from home, having these specialized cabanos, for lack of a better word, built in the yard, but to set up as your home office, but to get out of the house. You know, it's almost like get away from the kids, as it were, or what have you, and just maybe a little fresh air. And they're building these beautiful cabanos, but set up for home office work.
That's correct. And they come in different sizes. I've seen they're also made higher, so their ceilings I've seen up to 12 feet ceilings, so that you can have the impression that you're in a larger space, and you could finish it any way you want, bring in electrical to it, and so on and so forth. And I've seen it in cases. The last one that we installed was about 15 by 18. Is a fairly big one, and it's not difficult to the best part about it, it's not difficult to get the permit from the city to have it, because technically you're putting a cabano. Now what you put inside the cabano is not really their business, right? So it's a question of insulating it, drywalling it, and putting some heat if you want to use it for four seasons. But it's really, really popular, and they're making some nicer ones. As a matter of fact, some of them are even nicer than the homes that they are put on.
Oh, the one that they showed, the woman using it, they set it up perfectly for the infomercial, but she had a little flat screen TV, and she had her coffee maker, and
the last one that I've installed, it was a gentleman that was retired, and he had a lot of his buddies over, And his wife didn't like that because they play poker and they drink. And so he said, you know what? I'm just setting up my own little man cave, and, you know, off he goes.
There you go.
And he did such a beautiful job. I have to say, he put a bar in there and, you know, a TV, giant screen TV. So it was actually nicely done.
The evolution of the man cave, 952. From the text line of 514-800, good morning, guys. Could you recommend the most economical air purifier, keeping in mind the replacement filters, say for average living and dining room area? And are these available at most of the stores, you know, the big box, the Ronas and the Renos? That's from Nancy, who's calling, texting with that.
I mean, we're not going to really talk about a certain brand. They all work to a certain extent. The most important thing with air purifiers is how many cubic feet you are purifying. So more often than not, you see units that are smaller or the capacity is smaller than the room they're put into, especially in an open area. So you should be mindful of the cubic feet in that room, and then you calculate what you're buying accordingly. If you don't, then what's going to happen is it's going to have a lot less efficiency. Now, if you don't find a machine that is adequate enough, you might have to buy more than one machine, especially in an open concept and higher ceilings. They all work. The brands work. It's all about the filter. You need a HEPA filtration system that filters things down below 2 microns in size. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, there's not a particular brand that I'm, you know, going to endorse. They all work as long as you have the right size unit.
All right. Stephen on the text line, back to our talk about decks. How long after putting in that new deck should you wait to stain it?
This is a very, very good question. So in the old days, we used to think, we used to say you have to wait 1 year. So it have to be weathered enough and all the chemicals are out. Not anymore. So the applications have changed drastically. So now, 1 week to 90 days, your deck have to be stained
mm-hmm.
after it's installed.
Okay.
Have to be stained. It's very important. Before, we thought it was in a year. And the way you know if it's ready is you drive a screw through the planks and you see if there's any humidity coming up on the screw. That if you see any humidity or wetness, that means, or dampness, that means that the wood is not ready to be stained yet.
Right. We're going to sneak in to John from Delson. John, good morning.
Yeah, hi. I was going to tell Walter that he should tell people who have copper pipes.
John, I just want to let you know you're on the air right now. Walter is listening.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, the thing is, anybody who has had copper pipes installed over 30 years ago, you should take a cloth soaked in mineral spirits like Varsol and walk around. And everywhere you see a green stain out past the joint of a pipe, you should wipe that off. Because I've seen lately, it's about three times in the past year, copper pipes that have, that's the flux from the solder at the joint has eaten out and has dissolved the pipe past the joint. So you wipe away the old flux, you eliminate that problem.
And tell me, John, how did you arrive to that conclusion?
Because I've done my own stuff and I'm an engineer.
Okay. It's not a bad idea because oxidization in copper pipes is a thing, and you're right. The only issue you would have, the practicality of it, is that is usually easier said than done, in the sense that most of these pipes are buried in the wall, especially the risers. But in any crawl space or, you know, unfinished area in the basement,
It's difficult to get to, I know.
Yeah.
But you have to take a look because that's where you are going to develop a leak if there will be a leak.
That is correct. That is definitely correct.
You may never have one, but the thing is, the potential is there. And I've seen it 3 times in the past 2 years.
You might be onto something, John. I don't know.
John, I appreciate the call and the advice. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. That's John out in Delson. Walter, thank you for a great chat this hour.
Thank you.
All right. That's Walter Rassi from Renovco. Don't go anywhere. The Home Improvement Show is done, but we're going to turn things over here in just a couple of minutes right after the news to Lisa, who's ready to go with the car show. All right. Jimmy, thank you very much. I'm Ken Connors. Good to be back, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning as of 6 o'clock.